From out of the future, down the dark corridors of time and space, intrigue, mystery, and danger comes the man of tomorrow. The Inexplicable Dumb Show presents stories of the future on strange and far-off worlds with Rocky Star, Space Ranger.
Rock Ranger reporting, Commodore Bradford.
You're blasting for Jupiter immediately, Rock. Henrik Pittman, the famous explorer, has disappeared in space.
What's my assignment?
Find him.
Rocket ship Ranger 9 blasted down the long, smooth runway and nosed its way into space. As it did, a picture of Jupiter, the mystery planet, blasted in front of me. It was a cold, bleak picture. A world of ice, ammonia seas, lava cliffs, with a mist hovering over the planet like a cloud of cosmic dust, and stalking shadows casting reflections of the inevitable. Death. Flaps Anderson, my assistant, summed up our mission with a few well-chosen words.
Find Henrik Pittman on a planet that's 90,000 miles in diameter? Jumping Jupiter, that isn't an assignment, that's a career!
If Henrik Pittman is alive, Flaps, it is possible to find him.
Yeah, if he's alive.
Yeah?
Skipper, this is Gale. I'm in the control booth with Steve Pittman. He'd like to go over the maps with you of his father's trip.
I'll be right in, Gale.
Well, I hope for Steve's sake that we find his father, but I still think it's like looking for a Martian desert cat on Venus.
We'll do the best we can. If you want me, I'll be in control.
Right.
Steve's plotted a location where he thinks his father's ship, the Explorer, might be found, Skipper.
Yes, here on the map, see?
The Ammonia Sea area, huh?
What do you think?
What makes you so sure that this could be the location?
The last I heard from Dad on the Visigrav, they were circling this area trying to find a suitable landing place.
It's at least minus 200 degrees Fahrenheit there.
But the Explorer was a big ship. They had plenty of equipment on hand and could protect themselves against almost anything.
Providing they made a safe landing.
Then you don't think my father's alive?
Space is a strange place, Steve. Few people understand it. The things that happen out here are sometimes unexplainable. But when it's happened to you, you can believe anything. Your father was basically a scientist. A good one. And so was his crew. Landing a ship and staying alive takes more than scientific formulas.
If anyone can find your father, Steve, I'd bet my credits on the skipper.
I do have an idea.
What's that?
Several Earth years ago, a Universe Federation ship, the Infinity, circled Jupiter. The crew reported that they saw a dark band several hundred miles in width around planet Jupiter, and they had a feeling that they were looking into a deep chasm.
Did they investigate it?
No, not at the time. They were carrying a special government cargo and didn't want to take a chance.
Did anyone ever investigate it?
Yes. In 2750, two men from our department, the SID, went to Jupiter and found the dark band the Infinity crew reported on. They reported to Nova City Spaceport that it looked like an optical illusion, but they were going to land on it, or in it, or whatever, if they could.
Did they?
They were never heard from again.
But what could the dark band around Jupiter mean to us?
It might mean that your father is alive. Yes. Space is a strange place. And what happens out in it is even stranger. The SID had reasons to believe that the so-called dark band was a cleavage in Jupiter's outer shell, and that intelligent life could live inside it. But the most important thing was, if intelligent life existed, what type? And what was the world within like? That was part of my assignment that I couldn't tell anyone, not even the crew, because I had secret orders to investigate the world within. At any costs.
Hey, look, Skipper! There's another volcano on the surface of the planet!
A lot of them on Jupiter, Flaps.
That stuff coming out of them, what is it?
Hydrogen flames and lava.
It's a cinch that nobody could live down there. Oh, gives me the creeps.
Yes?
Skipper, check your master scanner. Steve thinks he sees that dark band you were talking about.
What's your reading on the scanner, Gale?
5 points, WC, back to 2/6.
That could be it. Keep all scanners in focus, Gale. We'll soon know if that's the dark band or not. With all scanners trained on the dark object in the distance, each pulse beat of our heart kept time with the powerful throb of the Ranger 9 rocket motors. Cliffs of huge glistening ice and lava soon blended with a misty sea of liquid ammonia rising from the planet, and a veil of mystery cloaked Jupiter. Then we saw it. Yawning below us was a vast black chasm.
It looks like an optical illusion.
Or a big Venusian swamp tiger yawning in your face.
A cut forward acceleration, Flaps.
You're not gonna try and go through it.
If it's possible.
But what if it's just, nothing?
Do you know what it feels like to go through nothing?
No.
Neither do I. The black chasm was one of nature's freaks, and as we neared it, a sea of darkness loomed up outside. We threw open the rear scanner for backlight, which made everyone believe that the chasm was a bottomless pit. Then we glided through the opening of the planet's outer shell, and nothing stopped us. We kept going. There had to be an end someplace, or we'd go completely through the middle of the planet. But what was at the end?
Look! In the rear scanner! It's getting lighter!
But where are we, and how did we get through?
The ice cliffs on the outer surface evidently are high enough to keep the ammonia seas from overflowing.
But you can't through the middle of the planet.
Like the little bumblebee. According to science, it can't fly because its body is too big for its wings, but the bumblebee doesn't know this, so it keeps flying anyway. We know we can't go through the middle of a planet, but here we are.
Look! To the right of the scanner!
Green patches. That means only one thing, living plant life. But this is too far-fetched. There is no life on Jupiter.
We're not on it. We're in it. Still zooming into the heart of Jupiter, our scanners recorded objects below that were unbelievable. Giant trees, huge fern-like growths, and animals with a prehistoric makeup. The atmosphere reader spun around and settled on the fact that was impossible. The atmosphere was balanced for Earth life. In the middle of a giant crevice, we were looking at Earth as it could have been thousands of years ago.
Skipper! There was a flash below! To our left!
We'll swing around. Accelerate motors.
There it is! Metallic? Shining?
Skipper, it's a spaceship!
And it's standing on its fins, just as though it was ready to blast off.
Slip the magnifying glass-like cover over the scanner. Maybe we can read the name of the ship.
It's my father's ship. The Explorer. Then he's alive.
It's possible. But let's not get any false hopes up. Flaps, keep on the alert for a landing spot.
I knew it. I felt it. Dad had to be alive.
Steve, check the blasters on the ship. You, Gale, go back in supply and get the equipment ready.
Right. Let's go, Gale.
Where there's life, there's hope, naturally. But where there's life, there's also a law of nature. Survival of the fittest. Rocket ship Ranger 9 came to a halt in a clearing about 1 mile away from where we spotted the Explorer. But it was a mile of tangled undergrowth and strange jungle-type vines. Making our way through, it was slow. Jupiter spins so fast on its axis that you can only have about 5 Earth hours of daylight each day. In another hour, it would be dark, and an alien country brings alien problems.
Skipper, I don't know how to say it, but...
But what?
I'm afraid.
Afraid of what?
I don't know.
I didn't want to say anything about it, but so am I. I've been telling myself that there's nothing to be afraid of, but something keeps pounding in my brain that I should be afraid.
I don't have that trouble. No brains!
We'll be at the Explorer soon. Maybe it's the anxiety of what we'll find there.
I've thought of that, but no, it's something more. It's a fear. Not like being afraid, but something that gnaws inside of you.
The same fear waves that Gale and Steve felt were gnawing inside of me. Ever since we left our ship, I felt as though something or someone was watching us. Perhaps the creatures of this world within were invisible. Or perhaps they controlled thoughts by mental telepathy waves. One thing was certain. We were fighting something that didn't exist as far as we knew.
There it is. The Explorer. Come on, let's hurry.
The ship looks in fair shape, Skipper.
Yeah. Come on, Gale.
I can't. I'm afraid.
There's nothing to be afraid of.
I can't go in the ship. There's something horrible about it. I just can't go.
Grab her, Flaps. We'll get her inside that ship.
No, I don't want to go.
Open the ship's lock.
Oh,
now listen to me, Gale. What happened out there can be explained.
I'm sorry, Skipper, the fear. It's gone.
I feel it too. The minute I walked onto the ship, the fear seemed to disappear.
Then the metal of the ship keeps the fear waves from penetrating the brain.
Whose fear waves?
I don't know. Not yet. Find anything around, Steve?
Nothing. Or no one.
Skipper, behind you! Watch out!
Gale's voice spun me around and I was staring into the face of a walking dead man. Red eyes, sunken deep in a bony face, walked slowly towards me. I reached out and grabbed the half-human being by his torn clothing and pulled him toward me. He fell his body to the ship's floor. His clenched fist relaxed. And a piece of paper lay in the palm of his hand.
What does it say?
You can't help us. We are prisoners. Leave Jupiter, or you will be too. Henrik Pittman.
Dad? A prisoner? A prisoner of what?
I don't know, but we're not leaving Jupiter until we find out. Flaps, lock up the ship. Steve, give me a hand with our boy on the floor. Gale, see what you can do for him. Maybe he can give us some answers when he comes around.
He's coming around, Skipper.
Good. How do you feel?
Don't hurt me. No, don't hurt me.
Take it easy, fella. We're not going to hurt you. We're Earthmen.
Earthman.
Now, think carefully about what I'm saying. I'm Ranger Star. These people are your friends. We're here to find Henrik Pittman and his crew. Were you one of them?
Yes. I'm Matt. Matt Summers. That's it. Matt Summers from the Explorer. You're Earth people.
That's right. I'm Ranger Star. This is Steve Pittman.
Henrik's son?
Yeah.
Your father has spoken of you often.
This is Flap Anderson and Gale Archer, members of my crew.
Nice. How's it going, Mac?
Now, Matt, we want you to tell us what happened to the Explorer and her crew.
Let's see. We got along fine the first few days after we landed. Then Pittman and all of us had a strange feeling that we were being watched.
We had the same feeling.
You would. Well, we took several field trips. We didn't need our spacesuits.
No, the atmosphere here is exactly like that on Earth.
On one of those trips, panic hit the group. All I remember is Pittman kept shouting, "Back to the ship!" It was horrible. Fear, tormenting fear, exploded in our brain, and we all passed out.
Then you were taken prisoners. By whom?
By the natives here.
What do they look like?
Small, hairy creatures. Fast. They look like a human spider, if such a thing is possible.
Where did they take you?
To a stone sanctuary in the dense jungle.
Did the fear continue?
Not as long as we were in the stone sanctuary. But when we tried to escape, we couldn't get 50 feet away.
What causes this fear?
The natives think of us as gods. We came out of the world above them. Ever since then, they've held daily meetings. Religious services, we imagine, to worship us.
And their fear has kept you prisoners?
Yes. They're able to generate such strong fear waves that they can drive you insane.
How did you manage to get here, if you say you couldn't escape?
Pittman made a helmet for me.
Out of what?
Part of his clothing. He packed it with granite sand.
Where is it?
Why, I fell in the jungle and lost it. Couldn't find it any place. I started running, but the fear waves caught me before I reached the ship.
I see.
How are we going to help them, Rock?
I'll tell you later. You get some rest, Matt. It's dark outside now anyway. We'll start for that stone sanctuary the first thing in the morning.
You don't believe Matt's story, do you, Rock?
I don't know.
Somehow I wanted to, but...
We'll know tomorrow.
What are you going to do?
As long as we keep metal on our heads, I don't think the fear waves can reach us.
But what will we use? We left our helmets on our ship.
Flaps found 11 in the storehold of this ship. We'll use them. He's checking them now.
Then what?
We'll have Matt lead us to the natives.
But do you feel that you can trust Matt?
Yes. You could trust Matt, all right. But the man in there isn't Matt. It's someone using his body. You'll each carry an extra helmet. Tie it into your belt. If for any reason you should lose the one you're wearing, put the other one on right away. Those brief few seconds you're without it could give the natives sufficient time to generate fear waves into your brain. Any questions? Then we'll move out in route file. Matt, you lead the way. With only 5 hours of daylight, we had to reach the stone sanctuary and try to get back before it became dark. But making our way through the knotted and twisted vine creepers and other jungle vegetation made the going painfully slow. The dense growth kept our visibility down to a few feet. I kept thinking that in that density waited danger. From out of its depth, death could come quickly and silently.
Skipper, over there. I saw something move.
We're getting near the stone palace. I can sense the natives.
Just keep walking. We've been followed for a long time.
Followed?
Yes. Flap spotted a native a mile or so back.
That's right. I just told the skipper.
Can we take a breather?
Have to keep moving. The natives are expecting us.
Over there, skipper. Look.
It's one of those prehistoric things.
Now don't get excited. Everyone get behind me. Keep your blasters in your hand, and if the monster starts for us, use them.
It's coming this way!
Don't move.
What's Matt doing? Look!
Taking off the helmet. Matt! Matt! Stop!
Why'd you kill him?
I didn't.
But I saw you.
I'll explain later. Wait till the monster gets a few feet away. On my signal, fire your blasters. Come on, we don't have much time.
That must be the stone blaze Matt talked about.
Give me the helmets. You all stay here and wait for me.
What are you gonna do?
I'm going inside and bringing Pittman and the crew out. If I need any help, I'll signal you. Pittman. Pittman. Henrik Pittman, can you hear me?
Where is he?
Rockstar, Space Ranger, stand back from the door. I'm blasting it open.
An Earthman? You mean you're real?
I haven't time to explain. How many men in here?
Only three left.
Then all of you, follow me.
You heard the man? Come on, let's go. But I don't understand.
Just do as I say. Come on. The natives stopped. We don't have much time.
Here they come!
Dad, you are alive?
Yes, I...
Save it for later. The natives will be coming up over that rise in just a few seconds. Put your blast charge on 5 and stand by. On signal, fire into the middle of them.
There they come!
1, 2, 3, fire!
Jumping Jupiter! This is one experience I'll never forget!
Totally!
Oh, yeah.
Wow. Say that again.
I still don't know why you blasted Matt, Skipper.
Henrik Pittman can tell you that.
Matt died 4 Earth months ago.
What?
He died?
That's
the natives were just using his body to trap us. They projected their will and minds into his brain and just used his physical form.
But the monster!
That was part of the natives' plan, too.
It was controlled by the natives?
Yes. The monster was to get us excited, and the natives were going to take over from there.
Then why did they let us leave without a fight?
Their fear waves lost their power. When I blasted the thing using Matt's body, and then the monster, all the fear generated by the natives turned to hate. So instead of worshipping the Earthman, they hated us.
Well, what do you know? What do you know? You just can't trust humans and monsters anymore.
On the mystery planet, I'll agree.
Look, Skipper, in the forward scanner. We're going through the dark band. We'll soon be back in good old space.
It sure will be wonderful being home again.
Yeah. Yes, sir. There's no place like home. No place like it.
There'll be more thrilling adventures in space on strange and far-off worlds with Rockstar Space Ranger next time. Be sure and be with us then for the exciting and action-packed story, The Dark Nebula. Space Ranger is created and written by Tom Hubbard and Fred Edgars, and stars John Malden in the role of Rockstar. Featured in the cast are Tara Malden as Gail Archer, Brad Oxnam as Flaps, and Aiden Malden as Steve. Entire production is supervised by William F. Broidy. Directed by Al Ganaway and produced by Tom Hubbard for Bill Broidy Productions. Space Ranger came to you transcribed from the interwebs. This is the IDS, the inexplicable dumb show, welcoming you to our IDS Summer Rep 2022. Happy listening.
The atmosphere was balanced for Earth life. In the middle of a giant crevasse, we were looking at...
Stop. Sorry.
All right, pull it together.
Brad's doing it too. He should wait. Get it out now, Brad. He stopped.
No, I'm still waiting. Okay. I'm still running.
Never mind.
Sorry.
In the middle of a giant crevice, we were looking at Earth as it could have been thousands of years ago.
Would you like to be a pal of the Inexplicable Dumb Show? Well, why don't you head on over to www.inexplicabledumbshow.com and look for the Hosting Donations Accepted button. Press that and make a donation and help the Dumb Show cover its web hosting fees. Your donation is greatly appreciated. Thank you for your support.
This podcast is a member of the Blueberry Network. Blueberry. No E's. That's Blueberry, B-L-U-B-R-R-Y. .com. Blueberry.com.
Pop Alternative Media.